time for the Astrology Hour on KFOX. Don't go away. Good afternoon, Los Angeles and all of Southern California. I'm Farley Malaris, and you're listening to Astrological Metaphysical Radio, the phenomenon of the 90s, on KFOX 93.5 FM, your talk alternative. And I'm getting ready for everything to hit the proverbial fan in the next 10 days, because if you've been listening to the show, you'll know that now Mercury's gone direct and Uranus has gone direct. The energy seems to be getting a little bit more intense. And in the next 10 days, Saturn and Neptune will also go direct. And then, of course, before you know it, middle of October, the moon wobble will start. Now, in case you want to get a head start on exactly when the moon wobble will start, the moon wobble will start on around the 6th. So that means we have a couple of weeks, about 3 weeks, before the moon wobble starts. The moon wobble will, next moon wobble will peak on the 26th. So in October, we're going to have a moon wobble with no planets retrograde at all, which means if something's going to happen in the world that's going to be of any major significance, I am sure that it would be encouraged to happen in October of 1990. We will all watch and hope and pray that whatever it does happen, it will be peaceful and quiet and calm and comfortable. We're going to talk about following the moon because, you know, I don't think a lot of you understand what the moon does to us as it moves through our birth chart. The transiting moon, the mobile moon, the fluid moon that moves through all 12 signs of the zodiac in any one sun sign cycle. So during a 30-day period, the moon will go through all 12 signs. Well, in today's show, I'm going to try to explain to you what that means as the moon moves through the signs and through the houses in your chart. And I'm also going to give you a formula to calculate the moon's position at any given time during the day. For example, I announce at the beginning of every show at 12 noon where the moon is today, for example, 9 Virgo. And I'm going to give you a way to figure out where the moon is from one show to the next in case you'd like to calculate like at 9 tonight or 2 in the morning or 5 in the morning or 11 in the morning where the moon is. By just listening to this program, you'll be able to add and subtract degrees so you can follow the moon precisely and surgically through your chart. The moon, I think, is the most important aspect in all of astrology besides the rising sign. The rising sign basically is not a planet. It happens to be the identification of the rotation of the Earth at the moment of birth. So what we do is we freeze whatever sign we could see on the eastern horizon when a baby is born to identify the rising sign. And we astrologers believe that all the planets are funneled, they're channeled through this most important aspect, this personality, this identity, this I am factor. But the moon, in my opinion, of course, is the trigger to all things in astrology, which means no matter what kind of day or week or month you're having, or no matter what kind of transit you're having, you can always be sure of one thing, that something will go through your entire chart every single month. And that something is the stellar celestial body that is closer to the Earth than any other planet out there. Now, astrologers refer to the sun and the moon as luminaries, but still some astrologers also refer to the moon as a planet. Two, with the rising sign, with the ascendant, the moon also represents a major part of the personality, the emotional side, the watery part, the subjective mind, the subconscious mind, and our instinctual behavior. Its receptivity, its very feminine aspect of our personalities, impressionability, the desire for fresh experiences. It represents maternity and disposition, feelings, moods, attitude, sensitivity, intuition, senses, the senses, feeling, touch, taste, and all that, and sympathy. And the moon always gets very strong when it's in Cancer and very weird when it's in Capricorn. And it's also stronger in Taurus, and it's the worst in Scorpio. So the moon rules Cancer. It is in detriment in Capricorn. It's exalted in Taurus and in fall in Scorpio. So there's four signs right there that you can get some idea what happens when the moon goes through that sign. Number one, the first thing you want to know when following the moon's movements is, number one, what day during the month will the moon be in my moon sign? So you'd have to get your astroscope out and find out exactly where your moon sign is so you'll know when you have your lunar return. And when the moon returns to the area of space where it was when you were born, then we call that a lunar return, and this phenomena sets up sort of a lunation cycle, a 28 to 30 day period emotionally, depending on how we handle that 24 to 48 hour period when the moon is in our sign and returns to that place in the universe where it was when we were born. Like my moon is 17 degrees of Scorpio, and once a month the moon will be at 17 Scorpio and I have my emotional problem. And I know that because the moon, of course, I was born with the moon in its worst sign in Scorpio, and those of us with Scorpio moons do have the toughest time emotionally next to Capricorn moons. So a Scorpio moon and a Capricorn moon would make quite a pair in a relationship, I might add. A couple of real emotional weirdos. But the moon will be in Scorpio this weekend, in fact, on Saturday during the autumnal equinox. So I'm really excited about that, when the sun will enter Libra also on Saturday. But anyway, so if you know your own moon sign, number one, and you can listen to my show when I announce the moons in Libra, moons in Scorpio, moons in Sag, moons in Capricorn, moons in Pisces, moons in Aries, then you'll know when your lunar return will occur, and then you'll know exactly when the most sensitive part of the month is for you emotionally. And let's face it, guys, gals, if you're married out there and you want to know why people have their period or their attitude or their moodiness 1 to 4 times specifically during the month, they're even having a lunar return, they're having a moon square their moon, or a moon opposed moon. Okay, now what does this mean? Number two, whenever the moon is in a stress sign to your moon, meaning that because my moon's in Scorpio, which is a fixed sign, whenever the moon goes into any of the other three fixed signs, which means Leo or Aquarius on the sides, which would, a Leo moon would square my Scorpio moon, an Aquarius moon would also square my Scorpio moon, and then the opposite of Scorpio is Taurus, so during the Taurus moon, that would oppose my moon. So there's 4 times during the month where emotionally I know to stay away from people. Because when you're having either A, the lunar return, or B, a moon square moon, or C, a moon opposed moon, and sometimes some people even follow their moon quinx moon, which I think is a little bit too much, but you can do that if you want to, then you know that emotionally those are the days in the month where you might not feel your best, and sometimes you don't know why. Now, let's say you were a mutable moon. Let's say you were a Gemini moon. Then that means that you would have your most vulnerable and sensitive times during the month when the moon's in Gemini, or when you get those moon squares and oppositions when the moon is in the other mutable signs besides Gemini. And the mutable squares to Gemini, you know, would be Pisces and Virgo, and the sign that opposes Gemini would be Sagittarius. Now we can go all the way through the whole gamut, because frankly, if you have your moon in Aries, Cancer, Libra, or Capricorn, any of those four, those are the cardinal signs. So for example, a Cancer moon would be most stressed out when the moon is in Aries, Cancer, Libra, or Capricorn, and same with the others. Aries moons would be stressed out when the moon's in Aries, Cancer, Libra, or Capricorn. Capricorn moons are stressed when the moon's in Aries, Cancer, Libra, and Capricorn. And that's how it works. See, so you find out what family your moon's in. Either cardinal, which is Aries, Cancer, Libra, Capricorn. Fixed, which is Scorpio, Leo, Aquarius, and Taurus. Or mutable, which is Gemini, Pisces, Virgo, and Sag. And that way you'll know the 4 days out of a 30-day cycle where you would be your most sensitive, your most vulnerable, your most moody, your most attitudinal, your most prone to upset, your most prone to anger. You know, I always loved following the moon with my dad because he is so sensitive and vulnerable, having moon and Jupiter both in Pisces, and he's already a very moody and irritable and temperamental guy. And being an astrologer helped, because whenever the moon was in Pisces and he had a lunar return, he went berserk. Or whenever the moon was in Sag or Gemini square his Pisces moon, or in Virgo oppose it, then I knew those are the 4 days out of the month that he would be yelling at me. So when I worked for him, it was always clockwork. Whenever the moon went square his own moon, that I had my biggest problems. You see, if you're having other transits going on with your moon already, like, God forbid, like, if you already are a Cancer moon at, like, 10 degrees, and you've been going through this Neptune opposition in Capricorn and Saturn opposition in Capricorn, now Uranus is coming up also, well, obviously, your lunar returns are going to be a lot more significant, a lot more drastic, a lot more destiny and fate affecting. This is where your moods and emotions can actually change your life because of a bad day. Because you're yelling, or you're screaming, or you're laughing, or you're crying, or you're doing something impulsive or erratic emotionally that's either ticking you or the whole rest of the world off. I do find that during the moon square moons that we are hardest on ourselves. That's when stress and nervousness and uncenteredness occurs mostly, and when meditation and grounding are absolutely required. The moon opposition moon is when we create jerks in our life for that day. It's when we walk in the house and someone levels us, or when we come to the office and someone levels us, or something like that. I know somebody that has a Pisces moon that didn't do so well when Mars went into Gemini and squared it on one end, and then Venus went into Virgo and opposed it on the other end. There was a T-square on the moon, and then on top of that, the moon went into Gemini, and I'm pretty sure that they blasted everyone in their life within a 48-hour period, and that's when you can actually turn everyone you know off. It's like they would say, well, this person's having a bad day. Well, I say he's having a bad life, you know, when that stuff goes on. When you have the problem, the emotional problem there from the lunar transits. Now, the other fun thing to watch, which is very powerful, is watching the moon go through all 12 signs and all 12 of your houses, which is what they call the lunation, I believe, which happens every 30 days. And it's fun to watch that because you can actually follow the events of your life as the moon goes through your houses. Like, if you know where your rising sign is, like mine's Libra, and you know what houses are ruled by your rising signs, you know, like Libra rising rules all my first house energies, and Scorpio rules my second house energies, and Sag my third house, and so on and so forth. It goes on and on. If you get that down and you read our How to Learn Astrology course and learn how to find your houses, then you can follow the moon as it goes through your houses. Like right now, the moon in Virgo is in my 11th house, and it's going through my 12th house. And it's been there the last 2 days, and I've been spending the whole weekend with close best friends. And the moon has been in my house of friends. And someone actually offered me an incredible deal for a house in Sedona. And that is what I call a goal, and the 11th house happens to be a goal house also. See, so if you know what the houses mean, the first house being the self, the second house being money and love, the third house being brothers, sisters, communication, short trips, the fourth house being the home, the fifth house being family, creativity, and romance, sixth house being service and health and work, seventh house relationships, marriage and partners, eighth house sex, mystery, the unknown, the occult, ninth house, foreign travel, foreigners, philosophy, college, 10th house, career and karma, 11th house, goals and friends, and 12th house, spiritual side, enemies, self-destructive side, and also psychic element. See, so you can actually follow the way your life can be triggered depending what house the moon is in as it moves through your chart. Now let's check this out. The moon will stay in any one sign for a 2.5-day period. At the same time, unless you're a 0-degree rising, the moon may change signs but still stay in each one of your houses if you're into equal house astrology like I am for a 2.5-day period. Now, why is it 2.5 days? Let's figure this out. There's 24 hours to a day. 2 days would be 48 hours. And 2.5 days, 2.5 days would be 60 hours. So now we find that the moon approximately stays in each zodiacal sign, approximately, not always, for around 60 hours, I would say, plus or minus 3 to 5, depending on the fact that in order for the moon to make that 30-day cycle, it needs to sometimes go a little faster through some of the signs. Now, the 60 hours is important because each zodiacal sign is made up of 30 degrees. It's like Leo starts at 0 and ends at 29, and then the next degree would be 0 Virgo. And then Virgo goes from 0 to 29 Virgo, and the next would be 0 Libra. Now let's say the moon right now at 12 noon is 9 Virgo, and you have a Virgo moon in your natal chart at 15. and you would like to know when the moon is going to be at exactly 15 Virgo so you can exactly plot your lunar return for the month. It's simple. We start at 12 noon when I announce the 9-degree Virgo moon, and we just take every 2 hours equal 1 degree. That's the formula. 2 hours equal 1 degree of a zodiac sign. So that means if we want to go to find out when the moon will be at 15 Virgo sometime this evening, at 12 noon, the moon's at 9 Virgo, plus 2 hours at 2 p.m., the moon would be at 10 Virgo, plus 2 hours at 4 p.m., it would be 11 Virgo, plus 2 hours at 6 p.m., it would be at 12 Virgo, another 2 hours at 8 p.m., it would be 13, another 2 hours at 10 p.m., it would be 14, another 2 hours at 12 midnight, it would be at 15 Virgo. So a person with a 15-degree Virgo moon would be able to calculate when the moon will be exactly returned in their chart, what moment their lunar return will occur, by adding or subtracting 2 hours equal 1 degree as the formula. Now, isn't that fun? Now, let's say you're in a foreign country and you don't have your astroscope handy, or you have one of Jim Maynard's celestial influences, and Jim Maynard, for example, in September says the moon's going into Capricorn at 11:36 in the morning on September 26, 1990. Well, I hate it when the moon goes 5 Capricorn, because not only does it conjunct Uranus lately, but it opposes my Uranus. So in order for me to find out when the moon is going to be at 5 Capricorn, I'll take the fact that it's at 0 Capricorn at 11:36 in the morning, and I'll add 10 hours. So that would be 11:36 to 1:36, 3:36, 5:36, 7:36, 9:36. At 9:36 p.m., On the 26th of September, the moon will be conjunct Uranus in Capricorn at around 5 to 6 degrees, approximately. You see? So that way you can track the lunar transits exactly by knowing that 2 hour equal 1 degree formula, and it's a magnificent way to figure out exactly when your particular chart is being triggered. Like, let's say, see, there's some areas of my chart I don't like. Like, I don't like the 17 fixed of Leo, Scorpio, Aquarius, and Taurus, because my moon is 17 Scorpio, and I don't like the cardinals of Capricorn, Aries, Cancer, and Libra, and I don't really particularly care for much of the cardinals or the fixed, because of all my cardinals and fixed planets. So whenever the moon goes into cardinal or fixed signs, I follow it very carefully, because it sets off squares and oppositions in my natal chart, and that's what creates stress. See, so you can understand stress because we are sensitive feeling creatures. When you know when the moon is squaring planets in certain of your houses, like, see, if the moon goes into Taurus, it's going to square my 10th house Leo planets and oppose my Scorpio moon. And because the 10th house is career, that usually shows a pretty stressful day in the career. Maybe a low mail count in the post office. Maybe sensitive people I work with, irritable people, or maybe a temper on my end or somebody else's. See, so you can actually look into the future by following the lunar transit. Let's take a look at some other things. It's not ironic or accidental that money problems and money surges occur when the moon goes into the second house, or that we start our diet or begin our exercise program when the moon goes into the first house. It's not an accident that we pay our bills and write our letters and make our past due phone calls to people we know and miss, or contact brothers and sisters when the moon's in the third house, or clean the house, the bathroom, the sink, redecorate, remodel, or buy, or think about moving when the moon's in our fourth house, or finally decide to go see the mom or the dad, or spend more time with the kids, or be more creative or romantic when the moon's in the fifth house, or get that doctor's checkup, or maybe catch a cold, or have a lot of stuff going on down at work when the moon's in the sixth house, or feel more loving and romantic and a need to be with people that you love and you're close with when the moon's in the seventh house, or be your most passionate when your moon's in the eighth house. That's why those of you that are in relationships where when you have sex or lovemaking, sometimes it seems like you have to beg for it, that you might be more well aware that usually people, if they're not in the mood to make love, they may more tend to be in a mating season or in a heat situation when the moon finally does hit their Scorpio factor house, the eighth house. And, you know, why people begin trips or think about trips or plan trips or deal with foreigners or think about college or philosophy or higher education when the moon hits their ninth house. Why all kinds of things come up and go down in career when the moon moves into your tenth house. Why you have more intimate dealings and maybe plan out your goals when the moon's in your 11th house, and why you might torture and thrash yourself when the moon's in the 12th house, or instead of doing that, perhaps pray and meditate and feel a lot more sensitive and vulnerable and psychic too. So, you know, following the moon, in my opinion, once again, is one of the best ways astrologically you can prove astrology works. And using that formula, 2 hours equal 1 degree of movement of the moon, is an excellent way to track the moon exactly, knowing approximately when it's about to change signs and knowing approximately when it's going to trigger numbers in your chart, planets in your chart. Because let's face it, during the course of any 1 month, the moon will square all the planets in your chart, each one of them twice, and it will oppose every one of the planets in your chart, each one of them once. So besides the fact, thank goodness, the moon trines all the planets in our chart twice a month and sextiles them twice a month, which also comes in handy. I like to follow the squares and oppositions because I always know when things are fine. What I want to know about is when the hornet's nest is going to be rattled. That's my big question, you know, because I want to be away. I want to be away from the nest when it gets rattled. But, you know, you see, I, for one, if I do one thing in my life, I can't explain to you why this is, but I am always aware of where the moon is, and I'm always aware of what it's doing to my chart. And oftentimes, I like to be aware of what it's doing to other people's charts. My friend Arlen is a Taurus moon. Gay Nelson is a Capricorn moon, and Bruce is a Leo moon. My mom's a Gemini moon. My dad is a Pisces moon. My friend Jay is a Gemini moon, and my friend Mike is a Capricorn moon, and my friend Jody also has a Virgo moon. And I like to be aware of where the moon is, because I want to know when they're having their lunar returns. I want to know when they're most sensitive and vulnerable. I also like to intimately follow the moon through my chart and the charts of others. And I feel that the true sign of a person that is going to be truly astrologically aware will be a person who I refer to as a moon conscious being. Someone that, whether they listen to my show every day or whether they go out to the Bodhi Tree and buy the Jim Maynard's Celestial Influences Guides for the Pacific Standard and Daylight Time Zones, then they'll be able to know exactly when the moon goes into a sign and exactly how many degrees it is in that sign. And, you know, at 12 noon every weekday, you'll also know exactly where the moon is. Then you can add or subtract. I like to know. See, like, I don't like it when my Uranus gets squared or opposed in a transit. My Uranus is a real happy part of my chart. It's conjunct Venus. It's in Gemini at 29. It's in the 9th house. So for that reason, I've learned to hate the Pisces moon at 29 degrees that squares that Uranus. Then the Aries moon that right after it squares my Uranus and Pisces, the moon goes into Aries and squares my Venus. I've learned to really stay away from people though during those periods, because I've learned that my life changes drastically whenever I have a moon square Uranus or a moon square Venus or a moon opposed Uranus or a moon opposed Venus. And for that same reason, I've learned to hate the moon at 29 Sag and 5 Capricorn. And when the moon, of course, is at 29 Virgo and 5 Libra, any one of those zones, then it'll square my Uranus or oppose my Uranus and square my Venus or oppose my Venus. And, you know, some people say, well, you're supposed to love your squares and you're supposed to love your oppositions. Well, I know you are, and I know that there's nothing bad about astrology because all good comes from transition. It's just that I'm a sensitive, emotional guy with a Scorpio moon, so I kind of tend to feel things a lot more heavier, harder, more intense than most people do. And for that reason, whenever these lunar transits and squares and oppositions hit, then I've got to duck all the time because that's when, you know, when things hit the fan. I've been raised and I've been around a lot of people in my life, my family, my friends, and my ex-wife that have been intensely emotional and temperamental. You know, I've been around lots of yelling and screaming and I don't like it. And I remember it. And I have vivid memories of people losing their temper at me and getting mad. I myself, if pushed far enough, it takes a while to get a Scorpio mood to explode into a potential rage, but if pushed hard enough, they will do it. And that's why, for me, in order to be better to myself and nicer to other people, I do find that learning about that lunation, that lunar movement, is important. Love you all. Have a nice day. See you weekdays at 12 noon right here, KFOX 93.5 FM, your talk alternative. Bye, everybody, and have a wonderful day. See you tomorrow at 12 noon on KFOX. Bye-bye.